And it's good to see everybody this morning. Oh. So anyway, yesterday I went to the beach. And I don't know. The water just allowed it to get to this level. Maybe there, if I can be honest. Not anymore. And so I think Miss Sonia and the kids were there. And she said, why don't you go on that floaty thing there? Is it a pontoon? That's not going to happen. And I'm there with Guguletu. She wants to go in. And I'm trying my best to, because I'm scared. And I'm just holding her real tight because I think I don't want to let go just in case she gets swept away. Well, that would be disastrous. And I thought about water. There's just something about water that scares me. But maybe for myself, because there's a little fear there, perhaps it would be good if I can swim, but the ocean is a different beast. Maybe this year I'll set myself a challenge to, if I get to that floaty thing, just to touch it maybe and come back, that would be really good. But it's very scary. Look, I think I'm really glad to see everybody this morning, all the families, and welcome to all our visitors and to all our church family. This week we had the pleasure of going to visit Shirash over there and Yoko at their house. It was a wonderful time, great food, great company, and they're wonderful people. They've just joined our church, and so it was just good to meet with them, get to know them more, and to see their lovely little girls. They've got three girls, wonderful. How's everybody going? Can you imagine it's 2023? I recall in 1989, I was constantly thinking, man, in 2000, I'm going to be 21 years old. And that was a long time ago. I was in grade 7 then. And now it's 2023, and I'm starting to think, ooh, 2030. I hope I can make 2030. Isn't that a good thing to be able to make 2030? Yeah. No? Yeah, a good thing. Just a friend of mine was at work yesterday, and one of their work colleagues just collapsed and died in the workshop. Just a friend. His work colleague just collapsed and died. And so I sent him a message last night to say, look, I'm really sorry, you know, for your work colleague. And I got a message from him. He says that, you know, he said, death is so simple. You know, it's ridiculous. You're here one moment, and the next you're gone. And so as we were driving here, not to be a bit morbid about this, as we were driving here this morning, I'm talking to Noctul, and I said, oh man, you know, anytime is, you know, anything can happen. And I said, there's a scripture that says, Lord, teach us to number our days so that we can have a heart of wisdom. But I think when something like that happens, your heart goes out to the family of that man. He would have left perhaps whenever his swing was and said, like, I'll see you guys in 2 weeks. But that, who knew that was going to be the last time he saw his family? Who can imagine how he left the home? He could have left the home with a high five and a kiss, or he could have left home with a get stuffed, you know, I can't stand you. You never know how you leave home. But unfortunately, there's no more rectification. And so when something like that happens, I think what we need to do when we say, Lord, teach us to number our days so we can have a heart of wisdom, is that we don't take life for granted. And I think at a time like this, what we then want to do, like I feel like I want to gather everybody together, you know, just to do a head count and just to make sure that everybody's loved in my family. But it should be like that every day. And sometimes it isn't. And so that was just, you know, like it rocks you a bit. Oof, you know, not good. Anyway, Father, we just pray for that man's family and his work colleagues, but especially his family, Lord God. We can't even imagine what they're going through, but we just ask for the comfort of your Holy Spirit in Jesus' name. Amen. So together, all of us are a church. And we have a treasure that has been given to mankind by God. Now, 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 7 says, but we have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellency of the power, that the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us. Now, the word treasure comes from the Greek word that means a deposit. And this means that there's a wealth that has literally been given to us. And the treasure that Paul is speaking about, and in the context of 2 Corinthians chapter 4, he's making it clear that he's speaking of the gospel. In chapter 4, verse 2, it says, the word of God. In verse 3, it is our gospel. And so this gospel is a treasure like no other. This treasure that you and I carry, but it has been put in earthen vessels. It doesn't refer to material containers, but rather to the physical human body that is you and I, regardless of our age. And so the gospel of God, of the Lord Jesus Christ, is not propagated by angels or directly taught by the Godhead, although they can do that. Rather, the Lord preaches the gospel through his faithful servants who are his earthen vessels, and that is you and I. And so the bottom line is this: if us as Christians do not teach the gospel to others, then the job will not be done. Each of us has got this treasure that is on the inside of us. And the funny thing is that God has placed us in different situations. And because he's placed us in those different situations, he has given us this ability to be able to take something and whisper things into people's lives that will make a difference in their lives. And the message I've titled this is Commissioned with a Purpose. Each and everyone has been commissioned. And as we start off 2023, it's always a good time, is commissioned means I've been given a task, a job. And so in Luke chapter 9, verse 1 to 6, it says, in fact, remember last week we spoke about Bartimaeus. Bartimaeus was a guy who was begging, and he heard that Jesus was passing through. Jesus is not the type of guy who would do things by accident. He doesn't do things by accident. Whatever he does on purpose. And so he goes by, and he ignores him. He probably hears him a few times. Maybe the noise of the crowd was too much. But what then happened is that this guy said, look, this is my only chance. I got to shout out to this Savior. He probably had heard about what Jesus did. And he begins to cry out up until the Lord said, bring him to me. And so as Steve said earlier, he threw away the cloak that identified him as a beggar. So you can assume this jacket identifies me as a beggar. And why did he do that? Because he did not want to be associated with that anymore. There was an anticipation. He had an anticipation that something is going to happen. So I am going to let this thing go. And eventually, the Lord said something to him. He says, he gets up there. Of course, he's blind. So somebody had to lead him towards the Lord. And so he's thinking, all right, Lord, do your magic. Abracadabra, you can see. But he asks him, what do you want? I mean, quite obvious, you know, Lord, what do you mean, what do I want? I want to see, I can't see. But he wanted this man to be very specific. He wanted him to be sure. Even if you're a young person, be very specific about what it is that you want. Don't pray this, oh, Lord, just give me stuff. No, Lord, I am believing that this year my parents are going to get me an iPhone 14. All the kids would love that, an iPhone 14. I'm not putting that in your minds, kids, because your parents will, you know, flog me afterwards. But all I'm saying to all of us is, let's be very specific. But there is something that you have to do in 2023. You are going to have to let go of some of those things that do not that identify you, whether by your self-identification or others have imposed an identity upon you that is contrary to what the word of God is for your life. Amen? So anyway, I said that because there's something about, you know, when you take something off, You know, you take something off, you're letting it go. And there's a morning routine that I have. And that morning routine goes like this. And it's not mine. Somebody asked me to, you know, they encouraged me to do this. And they said, ask the Lord, what is the one truth that you want me to speak into my life today? And so I wake up, Lord, what is the one truth you want me to speak into my life? And then I maybe wait a few seconds or whatever. And whatever comes to mind. And then he says, use your name. So I might say, Stephen, you are loved and you are accepted. So I've spoken a truth there. I am loved and accepted by the Lord. And then I go, so then I have to receive it. Then I say, Stephen, I am. So then now I then say, I am loved and accepted. And then it's important to then recognize is that, you know, when you say I am, you are proclaiming to those that are around you. Even though you are there by yourself, you are proclaiming something to the realms that I am loved and accepted. So what then happens is that when a contrary idea comes, you're probably, well, look, I'm you know, God doesn't love you. Immediately what's going to happen is that you're going to say, no, I am loved and I'm accepted. So these are the things we want to be doing in 2023, making sure that we are putting on ourselves the identity that God has given us, not an identity that is imposed by other people. Which means if you have got some issues in your life, go and speak to somebody. Go and speak to somebody. And get free yourself. That's the work that you're doing. It's like Bartimaeus was throwing off his cloak. You are going to speak to whomever it is that you're going to speak to, a friend, your connect group leader, your therapist. There's nothing wrong with that. Go speak to your therapist so that you can live your best life. 2022 was a very good year for me. Why? Because I felt free on the inside, a lot of stuff. And that's why it was a good year, because, you know, you start to sort of like get comfortable in your own skin. And so I encourage you that if you want 23 to be your best year, number one, let it be your best year in the Lord. And secondly, have inner healing. Get free of stuff. Then all of a sudden, you know, the things that bothered you before, they're not going to bother you again because you're dealing with your stuff. So like Bartimaeus, we all got to do some work. Amen? So Luke 9, 1 to 6 says, one day Jesus called together his 12 disciples and gave them power and authority to cast out all demons and to heal all diseases. Then he sent them out to tell everyone about the kingdom of God and to heal the sick. Take nothing for your journey, he instructed them. Don't take a walking stick, a traveler's bag, food, money, or even a change of clothes. Wherever you go, stay in the same house until you leave the town. Then he goes on to say, if they don't reject you, X, Y, Z. So they began, the disciples, their circuit of the villages, preaching the good news and healing the sick. He has given them a commission. Guys, I want you to go and do this. Go and do this. And so they went and they did as the Lord had asked them to do. Luke 9, verse 37 to 43. Remember that he says that, I give you authority to God and cast out demons, heal the sick and preach the good news. In Luke chapter 9, verse 37 to 43, it says, the next day, after they had come down the mountain, now this is Jesus, Peter, James, and John had gone up, and there was a transfiguration that took place, and so he's coming down the mountain. A large crowd met Jesus. A man in the crowd called out to him, teacher, I beg you to look at my son, my only child. An evil spirit keeps seizing him, making him scream. It throws him into convulsions so that he foams at the mouth. It batters him and hardly ever leaves him alone. I begged your disciples to cast out the spirit, but they couldn't do it. So Jesus says, you faithless and corrupt people, how long must I be with you and put up with you? Then he said to the man, bring your son here. And as the boy came forward, the demon knocked him to the ground and threw him into a violent convulsion. But Jesus rebuked the evil spirit and healed the boy. Then he gave him back to his father. All gripped the people as they saw this majestic display of God's power. Now, I bet you if something like that happened in here and, you know, this boy was healed, we would all be like, ah, I can't believe it. Is that true? So we don't want to be too... I can just imagine what it was like and how the disciples would have felt. And so power is the ability to accomplish a task, and authority is the right to do it. Power is the ability to accomplish a task, and authority is the right to do it. And so Jesus gave both to his disciples. They were able to cast out demons and heal the sick, but the most important ministry he gave them was that of preaching the gospel. So we know that in Western Australia, the government, by some possible act, has given the WA police the power and authority to police the state. And so an officer can come here and then brandish perhaps a warrant and say, right, I've been sent here by so-and-so. I'm looking for drugs or whatever it is that they come looking for. So they've been given that authority. Now, I can't just rock up to your house and say, you know, I've just come, I'm about to do a search. I want to check for contraband in this house, because you'd be like, you know, you'll probably get a stick and want to beat me up so I can leave your house. We all understand authority. If I go in the middle, you know, at the traffic light over there, and I just rock up as I am and I stand in the middle of the road, everybody's going to think mostly one thing. Look at that well-dressed psycho. I mean, that's... They may think other things, but most importantly, that's what they'll think. Now, I then may go, come back, and then I go out and I'm dressed in a police uniform. You know, I've got the hat, I've got the high vis thing, and I stand there, and maybe the white gloves, and I just start directing traffic like a choir master. Everybody is going to start responding to me because they recognize the authority that is in the uniform. It doesn't even matter if I got the uniform from a dress-up shop. People will still obey because they recognize that authority. This is why you and I have been given the power to do a task by the Lord, and also the authority that we go and we do it in whose name? In Jesus' name. And we say, by the authority vested in me. And so we just always say, in Jesus' name. We pray for somebody, be healed in Jesus' name. So all of us, you and I, have been given that power and the authority to do it. It's one thing to have power. It's another thing to have authority. But most importantly, it's a whole other thing to use it. If you don't use it, well, nothing changes. Isn't that the truth? And I wonder for your life, has there been a period where, as we look at this story and we relate it to our lives, is that this father says, look, you know, he has an expectation that he's heard about these disciples doing stuff. They were casting out demons elsewhere. And so he's heard about that. And so he comes with an expectation that you are the guys that follow this Jesus Christ. Therefore, you have the answers. Unfortunately, for this father, and sadly, the disciples somehow could not cast this demon out. And so Jesus comes down, and his response, because Jesus also had expectations for his disciples. He just thought that, look, why couldn't you guys do it? There was an expectation that they would do that. And so it says, you faithless people, how long must I be with you? How long must I put up with you? How long am I just going to entertain the fact that you guys are not doing what I've given you the authority to do? So you're on the phone to Telstra, and you say, somehow Telstra has debited $600 from your, or you found a bill. In fact, they've debited from your card, and so you're not happy talking to somebody on the phone at Telstra. And so you're complaining, and then the person on the phone says, look, I cannot help you. And then you say, so then why did you pick up the phone if you can't help me? But then they say, but I know I can speak to my manager who has the authority to approve the refund. And so what do? They go to somebody with the authority to do stuff. And so when people approach us as children of God, there is an expectation that they have. That surely if I come to you with my problem, you are going to be able to do it. You're going to be able to help me. But sometimes we're not able to. Sometimes we are able to help them, but then they come with other stuff that is heavy stuff, and we're not able to help them. And so even though these disciples had been given that God-given authority to cast out demons, because they had done it, because if you read in Mark, when Jesus sent them out and they came back, they told him that we had cast out some demons. So they're pretty happy with themselves. But somehow they couldn't cast this one out. And so this tells us that their authority didn't work unless they exercised faith. And that is what Jesus was not happy about. So we must believe what God has said, or else we may not experience what God has promised. The Lord said to this man's, to the son's father, he says, anything is possible if a person believes. And I think I want us to notice this, that what is possible depends upon each individual's faith. What is possible in your life actually depends upon your faith. And so why, when expectations are not met, we have to engage our faith? When expectations are not met, we have to engage faith. Because they had previously cast out demons before, they had done stuff, but so we're assuming that when they did that, they had sufficient faith. But had their faith grown weaker? I don't know. Who knows? I would be more inclined to think that this particular demon required stronger faith to expel than any other demon that they had dealt with. Now, of course, because of the way that this thing manifested, it would have been very intimidating for them. And so all of a sudden, their faith would have shrunk. Because now they're dealing with something that they've never experienced before, and it's very difficult, and they just think, oh my goodness, I do not know what to do. Which tells me that there's certain things that I can do with my eyes closed, don't have to think about it, it's easy. But there are other things where all of a sudden it is going to require a greater engagement of faith. Because faith requires us disregarding the contrary circumstances. Because when our circumstances change for the worst, we need greater faith is required. Because it takes more faith to move a mountain than it does to move a molehill. Now, what does this have to do, all this talk about faith, what does this have to do with the beginning of the year? I think that if we are going to be those that are going to embrace and deal with whatever comes for us in 2023, we're going to need to engage our faith. Jesus explains this to the crowd, that the key was the faith of those involved, because the disciples then asked him later and said, Lord, why could we not cast out this demon? Because we've done it before. And he said that this one only comes out through prayer. And of course, translations say through prayer and fasting. Jesus was challenging the crowd, the boy's father, and disciples on the importance of believing in him as the one who could accomplish what otherwise would be impossible. He was asking them to believe in him. Because the reason why, as we come to, you know, next week, from next week, Monday, we're going to embark on our Seek God fast. We were going to fast for 3 days. And part of this is saying we want to grow our faith. And when we decide to say, you know, I might not, or I've got big plans for this year, if you've got big plans for this year, then I think you're going to require a greater level of faith. And one way to do that is to make a commitment that this is the year that I'm going to pray more, and I'm going to separate myself and maybe do some fasting. And what I would encourage in 2023, parents, is that do this with your children. Now, of course, they might not have to miss the whole day, but maybe even if they miss a meal, or maybe Wi-Fi, you just turn it off. That would be a really good fast. If you turn off the Wi-Fi, they'll turn to the Lord very quickly. That would be more effective than food. Much more effective than food. But let this be a challenge. Let this be a challenge that this is the year, because I'm believing God for something, I'm actually going to pray more, and I'm going to set aside a time where I'm going to do some fasting. And I think that it would be remiss of me, you know, like this news that we got last night about this man's friend. And I say all this stuff not to scare people, but it is my responsibility to balance life, eh? Because unfortunately, life happens to us all. And we need to know that in times of when things go really left, that if we don't have the faith, we need to gather around people that are going to help prop us up when we face life's issues into our lives. So it is often noted that prayer doesn't change God, it changes us. So these disciples, they were able to deal with routine things that came their way because they had that level of faith. This was a teaching by the Lord to say, guys, there's going to come a time, in fact, they faced it where they couldn't do something, they couldn't cast out this particular thing that was troubling this boy. But he was saying that you need to get closer to me. You got to pray. Just get closer. Use this as an opportunity to fast and to pray. Because when we do that, we are drawing nearer to God. Amen? Faith in God is something that must grow and develop like a muscle. Paul said in 2 Thessalonians 1:3, we are bound to thank God always for you, brethren, as it is fitting, because your faith grows exceedingly, and the love of every one of you all abounds toward each other. So muscles grow and develop from exercise and good nutrition. Your faith in God grows the same way. Praying, spending time with the Lord, setting aside some chunk of time to say, Lord, I need to seek you. I need there to be freedom in my life. I know that freedom, even though it starts off with the word free, is not free. You have to work for it. You got to work for the freedom in your life. Prayer connects us to God, which causes growth. Fasting disconnects us from the world, which is the source of stunted spiritual growth. Seasons of not eating or indulging in some routine activities help us focus on God and grow in grace. If we as parents do not teach our children about praying and fasting, well, unfortunately, those things will die with us. But they are not going to be equipped to face the challenges that their generation has got to deal with. So it is incumbent on us that we provide that opportunity for, you know, for just a bit of pain. I remember when I used to do, at the start of every year, I would do fasts. And somehow, whenever I would, you know, commit to that period of fasting, I always loved to go to the shops and do the shopping. You know, which is, you're torturing yourself when you know that you cannot eat. The reason why we do this for a specific time is for us to draw near to God. And we can reference this as an act of worship that is accompanied by prayer and repentance. And so just a few examples of people that fasted and prayed. Ezra proclaimed a fast when the Jews faced a hazardous travel situation as they returned to Jerusalem from their exile in Babylon. This is in Ezra 8:21-23. And so while the desire for safe travel was the reason that they fasted, Ezra stated in verse 21, that we might humble ourselves before God to seek from him the right way for us. And so we come to fast because, Lord, we are humbling ourselves and we want you to guide us in 2023. The fast of Esther provides another example of people drawing to God when asking him for protection. So they're asking the Lord for protection And, you know, otherwise they were going to be killed. And so the Lord delivered them. In 2 Samuel 12, 14 to 16, David fasted to seek God's healing for his sick child. It was during this intense fast that David wrote Psalm 51, one of the most heartfelt expressions of repentance in the Bible. And so the overall purpose of David's fast was not to get God to do what he wanted, but rather to be humbled and reconciled with God as he sought him in prayer. Now, we know that God did not save David's child. But we know that through that fast, it brought him closer to God because he had been separated by the Lord from sin. And we know the most famous account of fasting in the Bible when Jesus fasted for 40 consecutive days. And so this was done in preparation for his confrontation with the devil. His example of fasting teaches us that fasting can be instrumental in preparing us for future trials and helping us to overcome temptations. That's what fasting can do for you and I. And I think I'll just get the team to come back up. May this year be the year that we draw closer to the Lord. And I'll just invite everybody to stand. Whether you run a business, well, most of you, some of you run businesses here. Whether you're in charge of a department at work, whether you're a stay-at-home mom, whatever the role that you play in life, I can tell you this, you're going to need the Lord. You're going to need direction from the Lord. None of us is immune from that. We all need the Lord. And I just want to read out this. In fact, you know, I was thinking the other day that God gives us all a choice. Whilst, of course, we know the Lord loves us. We definitely know He loves us. And He wants us to draw closer to Him each and every day. But it is our choice as to what level of engagement we want to do with the Lord. One thing I would ask for all of us and for this church, C3 Fremantle, is that this is the year that all of us are going to say, you know, this Lord, I'm going to draw closer to you. As a church, we're going to provide avenues by which we can draw closer to the Lord. We're going to have maybe some late night prayers, about 9 o'clock to midnight. That's an opportunity. Four times a year, we're going to do that four times this year. An opportunity for us to seek the Lord even more. And of course, we're going to have opportunity six times this year on Sunday for extended worship. We were going to be operating in the spiritual gifts, so you find people calling others out and then praying for them and saying, this is, you know, this is what the Lord says, X, Y, Z. But it's just an opportunity for you to draw closer to the Lord. We're going to provide those opportunities. And so in Isaiah 58, it says, shout with the voice of a trumpet blast. Shout aloud. Don't be timid. Tell my people Israel of their sins. Yet they act so pious. This is the Lord talking to Isaiah. They come to the temple every day and seem delighted to learn all about me. They act like a righteous nation that would never abandon the laws of its God. They ask me to take action on their behalf, pretending they want to be near me. We have fasted before you, they say. Why aren't you impressed? We have been very hard on ourselves, and you don't even notice it. Now, this is what the children of Israel are saying to the Lord. I tell you why I respond. It's because you are fasting to please yourselves. Even while you fast, you keep oppressing your workers. What good is fasting when you keep on fighting and quarreling? This kind of fasting will never get you anywhere with me. You humble yourselves by going through the motions of penance, bowing your heads like reeds bending in the wind. You dress in burlap and cover yourselves with ashes. Is this what you call fasting? Do you really think this will please the Lord? No. This is the kind of fasting I want. Free those who are wrongly imprisoned. Lighten the burden of those who work for you. Let the oppressed go free and remove the chains that bind people. Share your food with the hungry and give shelter to the homeless. Give clothes to those who need them and do not hide from relatives who need your help. Then your salvation will come like the dawn and your wounds will quickly heal. Your godliness will lead you forward and the glory of the Lord will protect you from behind. Then you will call the Lord. Then you will call. The Lord will answer. Yes, I am here. He will quickly reply. Remove the heavy yoke of oppression. Stop pointing your finger and spreading vicious rumors. Feed the hungry and help those in trouble. Then your light will shine out from the darkness and the darkness around you will be as bright as the noon. The Lord will guide you continually, giving you water when you are dry and restoring your strength. You'll be like a well-watered garden, like an ever-flowing spring. Some of you will rebuild the deserted ruins of your cities. Then you'll be known as a rebuilder of walls and a restorer of homes. He goes on to talk about honoring the Sabbath. Keep the Sabbath day holy. Don't pursue your own interests on that day, but enjoy the Sabbath and speak of it with delight as the Lord's holy day. Honor the Sabbath in everything you do on that day and don't follow your own desires or talk idly. Then the Lord will be your delight. I will give you great honor and satisfy you with the inheritance I promised to your ancestor Jacob. I, the Lord, have spoken. And my prayer for all of us this year is that there is going to be restoration in your family relationships. There'll be restoration in your family relationships. That where, you know, having meals with your family is like, oh, it's a dread. That this year will be different because you are going to allow God to do something within you. And as you pray to the Lord, He is going to, and as He promised, He says, I will remove your hearts of stone and I'll give you a heart of flesh. And that there will be a softness that will come in your life because, you know, when our hearts are hard, it's like a stone and nothing can penetrate a stone. Even if the Lord is trying to speak to us, nothing will go through because it's hard. But when we soften our hearts, He promised us that He will give us a heart of flesh. The flesh can absorb. We can absorb stuff. And that's my prayer, that this will be the year that you will have freedom in your life that you never imagined you'd be free. Free from whatever sin, free from whatever addiction in your life. Let's pray. Father, I thank you, Lord God, this morning. That, Lord, you say that if we draw near to you, you will draw near to us. That, Lord, if we seek you diligently, you will be found. And, Father, I pray that in 2023, Lord God, that we would set aside time for you. That you would lead us and that you would guide us. That we would make the heart's choice, Father, to draw closer to you. No matter what our age is, we could be young, and even we could be old. Father, as long as there is breath in our lungs, we commit that C3 Fremantle, we are going to worship you. We're going to seek your will, that your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Father, I thank you, Lord God, for your people this morning. I pray that you would bless them in the mighty name of your son Jesus. And everybody says, amen. Thank you, church. We're going to sing a song and have a wonderful week.